So we're starting a new series today, and I know this has been in Ben's heart for quite a long time. And it's always hard when you've had so much in your head since last year, I think, we first started talking and praying about this. So I just want to pray for Ben as we start. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I really thank you for Ben, and I thank you for everything you've put in his heart. And Jesus, I just pray that he would know you with him. Father, I pray for that fresh infilling of your spirit, Lord, as he shares with us today. And God, I pray for each one of us, Lord, that you would give us ears to hear and hearts to receive. I ask this in your precious name. Amen.
The meat on the top. Do you know what, as well? Actually, I nearly did it again as I clicked it back on. I could feel the button now. That's why you see, if we left it on and muted it at the. Good morning. As Andrea said, it was probably about 10 months ago that I just really started to mention it started off as building healthy relationships. And I talked about her church's history and DNA with just loving each other, which I'll come on to in a bit. And then I shared it with the other elders, and it got a nod, and it resonated in their hearts as well. And then really quite separately, I think I was in a home group leaders meeting, and run by Sue Wood, and Sue started to talk about what was on her heart. It's like, hang on, have you two been talking? Happy birthday.
Thank you.
And is Roger here? Happy birthday to him as well. And they hadn't. And what was really just in Sue's heart as well was really through the discipleship, to really start to look at relationships and how we interact with each other and how we do relationship well. So I thought, aye, God must be speaking, and we never do anything quick. That was about 10, 11 months ago. But in God's timing, as we just meditated, that sounds a really posh word, we thought about it. So what did that really mean, and how do we want to deliver it? Here we are nearly 10 months on, and I'm introducing, I'm doing a skim over of everything somebody might speak about over the next 2 or 3 months. No, that's not 13 sermons in one, although I'll give it a good go. You know, but having thought about it for so long and put it together, it's like, well, is that it? And my prayer this morning, generally, and actually what's wonderful is this isn't my responsibility, is that Holy Spirit just enables you to catch something. No matter how well or poorly I talk about this morning, really feel that this is significant, not just for us as Christians, of course, relationships, God is love, but actually specifically in Solihull Christian Fellowship. So my real prayer, Father God, would you ready all of our hearts, Lord, and would we catch something of your heart this morning in this area? Father God, would it not be down to my eloquent speech, Lord Jesus, or my clever PowerPoint slides, Lord, but would it be something that you work in our collective hearts? In the name of Jesus, amen. You know, we were called the Fellowship. 43 years ago, 4 or 5 families got together out of relationship for the purposes of going deeper with Jesus. Holy Spirit was beginning to move, and they hungered for more of God. And they came out of relationship and met for quite some time midweek, from different churches, they would come together until they realized actually that this had become their church. And how it was, people in the room will tell me or tell you at different times, but the fellowship was born. I do believe in births. And it wasn't born out of a single person. And you can see that sense 43 years on. It's not about a single person. It was about a group of people that came together to go deeper with God. And apparently, other people called them the fellowship. It was a thing you do in the 70s, I guess. It's a very 70s thing. Yeah, but I'm glad we haven't changed it. Names are important. God does change names, but only a few times. And it would have been very easy to have moved on from that because it is 1973-ish, the fellowship. But people called us the fellowship because they saw a depth of love, a depth of relationship, and thought, wow, you're like a fellowship. And it meant something more significant than the word there. It meant something deep. It meant something Christ-like. 2012, at our 40th anniversary, Stephen Wood and myself had a very, very strong sense that God was calling SCF to focus upon family. And nobody thought that was odd or where had that come from. There was a resounding agreement and an understanding because God has placed that depth of relationship within Solihull Christian Fellowship. And it won't be for everyone. It won't be for everyone. But that's what you get when you come here. And it's from that place of relationship, not only in God, that depth of going deeper in Him, but with others, that we spring and do lots of things from. From other sides of the globe to right next door, we are working as Solihull Christian Fellowship. Since then, we sought to understand that and express being a family or having a focus of family in its widest terms. We are not a church for families. Where families come, we are a family church. And the difference in switching those two words around is immense. One could be used to exclude, the other can only be seen to include. If that's what we want, if that's what we are willing to give and to be, a community of believers that we express as family. When you come in, when you are welcomed in, we enter you into a joint relationship with one another. Please don't think because we have a deep sense of relationship, though, that we get it right. And everything is wonderful. I got some very good and unhelpfully helpful feedback a few weeks ago about how we are. How we are. Not how this platform is or those that represent it. How we are. We get it wrong. We get it wrong. We get it right. Relationships are challenging. Relationships are rewarding. Relationships are messy. Relationships are self-giving. We do relationship here at Solihull Christian Fellowship. Amen? And sometimes people use that against us. Sometimes it's such a good example of how we do it, and other times it isn't. For fellowship. Why do we do this? Why? Well, God doesn't just give love. God is love. I mean, to get the scripture, I think it's 1 John. It's in the Bible. That's pretty good, hey? God is love. Our God does not just do relationship. He is relationship. The example and the mystery of the Trinity. We don't serve three gods, but there's three expressions that merge into one. We are many, but we are one body. And if we focus too much on the individual, we're out of kilt and even into error. Yet if we forget that the body is made up of individuals, then we miss and we run the risk of running over people. God called people his own who went on to build clans and tribes. The Hebrews. God called people his own, the Hebrews. And they had a deep understanding, something that as Greek thinkers we don't, but they had a real understanding of the needs of the many over the needs of the one. And that's been taken and used all sorts of different ways, but they really had a clear understanding of the tribe and what it meant to be part of something bigger than just me. They understood the collective harmony expressed in tribes and clans. Tribe's the big one, and within it you have smaller clans. You had smaller clans. They really understood it. And when you come, my heart and others' heart as well, is that when you come and be a part of SCF, you join our tribe. You join our tribe. You wear the badge. And you have clans. Every time you meet in home group, there's your clan. Or in your midweek groups, we do an incredible amount. And that is not a negative statement. It's absolutely phenomenal what we do here. The resources, that's stay on track. But whenever you meet, you're meeting in a clan. But this morning, we're the tribe that is Solihull Christian Fellowship. We wear the war paint. Amen. Oh, that was good. So why else? Why else do this now? I think we've got a changing world, but we got the same standards. I think I keep having a look, I haven't done my notes very well. I think the way we relate and connect is changing. We've got some incredible tools, haven't we? Some incredible tools that allow me to know exactly what Adrian does over the other side of the world. Yeah? Hi, so great to have you here. Yeah? I know exactly what he's up to because his wife faithfully posts it on Facebook. There's nothing that I don't know. Well, I'm sure there is. It's absolutely incredible. But the way we are relating and connecting is changing. And actually, deep down, I'm worried that we're losing something. I have more friends on Facebook, yet sometimes I can be lonely. And it's an illusion of connection, but isn't there? These are not bad tools. These are incredible tools, especially if you have family abroad, yes? Aren't they incredible? But we've got to realize, we've got to make sure that we don't lose that actually deep, that touch. I think I'll touch my wife. Is that all right? Yeah? That you just can't get that face-to-faceness. Do you know what? I used to... In the bank, we had three buildings that were separate buildings and connected. So we were all on the one floor, and you would walk. I don't know, it must have been about a tenth of a mile. That's how long it was, from one end to the other. And you'd walk through different buildings. I was always walking around. I was always walking into the other building. You didn't know you were walking. Some people gave me some feedback. Ben, you're like really going there for a purpose. Because I wanted to sit next to the person I wanted to speak to. And not send them an email. It took more time. It took more effort. But boy, I got things done. Especially the IT guys. I had them close. I got things done that other people didn't. Because I understood the value of connection. Now, hey, people over the other side of the world, do I send emails? Gosh, I do. But it is changing. How about this now? The way we make calls is changing. I get a text from people. Can I call you? Yeah, go back 30 years and it was wonderful. I'd sit in my home with my landline and no answer phone. The phone would ring. I'd say, well, it can't have been Claire. 30 years ago. Shall I answer the phone? I don't know. Do I want to answer the phone? Maybe I don't want to answer the phone. And nobody would know that I was in. Then caller ID. Oh my goodness. And of course, we always have our phones attached to our hips. So what happens now is someone is ringing and they know I know it's them. And if it drops early to voicemail, you drop my call. So what happens? I answer the phone annoyed. What? Things are changing. But what are we losing? There are endless, incredible possibilities for reaching out and connecting with people now. But there's something about being around people, being in a community, being next to people that we mustn't lose. No, we got to use Facebook. Yes, we got to travel the globe. But let's not lose the connection that is coming together. But I think we need to be careful. There is also an increase in shifting relationships to one of control. And that control is centered around me. It's centered around you. I decide when actually I reach out. I decide when I'm going to relate. I decide where I go. I decide if I want to listen to the talk this morning. I decide and I choose. And I think we're losing something of God's heart that was just relationship. You know when you're young and you have to go to Aunt Betty's do? Because that's what the Luong family do. That's what the Lee's family do. Whether I want to go or not, it's what we do. And there's a subtle shift out of the good stuff that we can get and use to actually let me control when and where I want to relate. I reach out when I want to. I connect with people when I want to. For some, it is ever so subtle. For others, it's more deeper. I just don't think it's God's heart. We don't stop using the internet. We don't stop using Facebook. That's silly. But we know what we're missing and losing. And sometimes part of being a tribe is coming here because that's what we do. Not because I feel like it. It is also my conviction that God will expect more from SCF because he's birthed in us a deep sense of relationship, that when you come into our tribe with all its clans, you adopt the calling for that relationship. So let's do it well. Every church is a family church. Come on. Every church wants to connect with every age group, but I really have a conviction in my heart. There's something deep within our DNA because it's how we were birthed, not how we chose to be for deep relationship. Therefore, we do it well. We do. Let's not knock ourselves, but let's go deeper. Let's go deeper in doing relationship well. So, the only way we can do relationship well, though, the only way we can really do it well is through these 3 points, and it flows. Christ reconciled us to God through his work on the cross and made us righteous. It's what Christ has done for us. It's what I talked about last week. I was going to talk a little bit about this, but there isn't time. Listen to last week. God died for us. God died as us. We are now righteous, justified. And that is actually why we can live relationships well. Next, and this is where I want to stay. Christ brought unity amongst his people and gave birth to a new community. I'm using the word community, okay, but it means a lot of things, yeah? Christ brought unity amongst his people and gave birth to a new community. We are a new community. When we first got born again, we have never been this people before. We'll see that this morning if there's time. And now, in Christ, we now live differently. It's not the list. It's not the stuff of do's and don'ts. It's because of what God has done in us. It's because he's brought us out and made us a new community that there are new standards we choose to live by. We choose to live by. And this morning, I want you to catch that new community. Paul, next week, will go much more deeper on this, but I want you to catch. We are a community of believers. When in London, I am standing outside the US Embassy, where am I? Don't say outside the US Embassy. In where? And where's that? London. When I step inside the US Embassy, where am I now? US soil. Do you know what? This is brilliant. I love this. I'm jumping ahead. But when we come together, not in this building like the embassy was, but when we come together, because the word says when two or more gather in my name, what? He is here. So actually, do you know what? We are in the embassy of heaven. Amen. Do you get it? We are in the embassy of heaven, not because we're in this building of breeze block, but because we, as a community of believers, are meeting together. So do you now understand? So when I'm in, I'll get excited. When I'm in the when I'm in the embassy, whose law am I under? U.S. So when I'm a citizen of heaven, when I'm in the embassy of heaven, I live to their standards. Do you know why? How I can live to their standards? Only because Christ has made me righteous. I thought I was doing me. Oh. I've jumped so far around, it's unbelievable. So just give me a second. That was just so good. Oh, Father. Oh, let me just pray. Father, Lord Jesus. Father, we're in heaven now. Do you know that seated in heavenly places and with Lord Jesus, we are a community of believers that have come together. Lord Jesus. Father, and as your word says, we are seated with you in heavenly places. Right now, we are seated with you in heavenly places. Lord, help us to live and walk as citizens of heaven. In the name of Jesus, Amen. God's desire was for unity in mankind and that God would dwell right in the middle of that community. Adam and Eve in the garden is the representation of that. However, the fall gave birth to sin and a desire for power. Part of God's plan was to call people out of the nations. Part of God's plan was to call people out of the nations. Israel was to be God's holy, distinct people. God called Israel to be a holy, distinct people. John Stott, in his book on Ephesians, says this: the tragedy is that Israel forgot her vocation, twisted her privilege into favoritism, and ended with heartily despising and detesting the heathen as dogs. Do you see that? God's desire is he called people out. He called the Hebrew nation out, the Jewish nation out, and he called them his own. He desired a distinct, holy people. And again, they missed it. And that's why we mustn't miss it. They saw it as favoritism. They saw it as elitist. They were above and better than others. And actually, they saw the heathen as dogs. When man does try and move together in unity, this twisted unity with itself at the center, and the Tower of Babel needed to be brought down, a man divided by God. It actually says, is there nothing that man now can't do when they're in unity together? So because of sin, God actually had to continue to divide men up. But that was not God's heart. He was looking to establish, and he's still seeking after, let's call it a community. It's bigger than that. It's deeper than that. A country doesn't quite sound right either. But for the purposes of this morning, he wants to call out a community of believers. God is looking for that community of believers who will do life well together as one group of people who will more accurately represent God. Do you know, we more accurately represent God when we're together than when we're an individual. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, actually collectively they represent God. We better represent God when we are together than when we are individual. I forgot to put the scripture down, and I did read out from my Bible without my glasses on last week and couldn't see anything. So let's just look at, I'm going to read it. Ephesians 2, verse 11. Therefore, remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who are near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit, the Father. Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens of where? With the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, we sang it, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Amen. Paul has just spent chapter 1 of Ephesians. By the way, you might hear a lot of Ephesians. We aren't systematically going through it, but we're going to use it as an umbrella for some of the talks. So you might want to read it. Chapters 1 and into chapters 2, Paul has spent the time in Ephesians telling them that they were separated from God, but they are no longer. Ephesians 2 verse 1 says, and you have been made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins in which you once walked according to the course of this world. They are now being made alive. They have been brought into right relationship with God. That's what we looked at last week. Also, though, they've been cut off from God's people. Aliens from the commonwealth and strangers to the promise. There was this division, as we've seen, between the Hebrew nation and the Gentiles. They saw them as dogs. And as a result, there was no hope. But because of what Christ has done, we have been brought near to him. And we have given hope. This is what Paul is saying. It's interesting, the middle road of separation, I won't go too far, but really that talks about a change in the temple that separated Gentiles from Jews. And the Gentiles and the Jews would have understood that. It was called the middle road of separation, and there was a wall where if you were not a Hebrew or of the nations, you couldn't come in under pain of death. Paul says that is gone. That is now gone. And as a result of Gentiles and Jews, and as a result of what Christ did, there's now a new community. This is what I want you to get this with. There's a new community that never before existed until what Christ did on the cross that brought the two together in unity. Amen. Here Paul is telling the Jews and Gentiles that the work of Jesus on the cross, there is now no separation between the two of you. You are not one people. You are now one people, making one new man from two, thus making peace. Jesus reconciled both to God. Now Jew, not by birth, but by the work of Christ on the cross, and Gentile are reconciled to God. Because of what Jesus did, the Jew is reconciled to Christ and the Gentile is reconciled to Christ. There's a new community of believers. And here we are. Here's one representation of that this morning. And because of that, there's a new way of living. I'm jumping around a bit because we were a bit shorter on time. Oh, thank you. I was wondering, did you get me a drink? So that's the bit I want you to hold on to. And next week, Paul will unpack that a lot more. Yeah? And because of that, because of what Christ has done, because of this new community, we live differently. And over the next few months, this is not an exhausted list. Oh, it's a list. It must be bad. We're not into lists. We're free from lists. These next few months, we're going to look at some of these things. You know, we are now part of a tribe. It was that point. But let me just get this. We choose to do life together, often within our clans, but there are times when the tribe does something. Every Sunday, the tribe does something. Now, I want you to hear my heart. There isn't a minister in Shirley that has not said church attendance is more sporadic than it's ever been. For whatever reason. And they're usually good reasons. But what they're saying is it's not what it used to be. Now, this isn't about church attendance. This is about understanding we're in a clan. We're in a tribe. When I grew up, for whatever reason, maybe because if we didn't go to church, we were told we'd go to hell. We never miss church. I remember once pretending to sleep in really late because I knew my mum would let me, so we wouldn't go to church. It worked once. Yeah, it worked once. Yet we recognize that we come together more sporadically. It's very easy not to come if we've had a busy week. This is not about rubbing my ego by getting four seats on a Sunday. Please catch something deeper here. Because it could be something else. It's Easter. We do Easter. And it's not when we're getting together as a clan. Going to Seekers on a Monday is a clan if you're 3, 4, and 5. 3, 4, and 5? I'm not expecting Alan to go to Seekers. It would just look odd. Not because it's just a sort, yeah. But what do we do as a tribe? How about times past when we've had fasting and prayer and we've come together for prayer 24/7? And I want you to encourage you guys that when we're doing stuff as a tribe, we come. You can twist this, I know. Oh no, not twist. This can be seen negatively. That's not in my heart. Go back to the changing relationships where we all nodded. This is one of those ones. And do you know what? Sometimes when two of my children are ill and I make the executive decision that Claire can keep all of them at home, I come home and there's that Sunday roast smell. The house is tidy, homework is done, and it's like, oh my goodness. This is what everybody else does. But there's something deeper that says as a tribe we come together. Do you get it? It's not about stroking egos on church attendance. Let's go through these. The way we talk to one another changes the way we talk about one another. When was the last time you went cold because you were saying something and realised that they might have been just a bit too close? Don't think it's right. We no longer, I want to look at what it is. I want to try my best to define it. Do you know why? I think we do it. The world bombards us with gossip, with stuff. And it's really easy when you're leaders and you're concerned for people to actually step from having a pastoral conversation to gossip. I'm not saying we do. I want to make sure we don't. Amen? We no longer judge. We seek to remove our plank so that we can go and remove the speck. Do you know the story? We seek to remove the plank. Why? So we can go and remove the speck. I've seen conversations where somebody's, let's just do it, where we're talking about a speck. I'm talking about a speck in somebody's eye. And they point out the plank. So I just end the conversation. And what I'm actually saying is, let's not talk about my plank. And I won't talk about your speck. That's actually not relationship. Am I my brother's keeper? Let's look at what is my responsibility, not as an elder, but as Ben, to actually encourage any one of you to walk well. Let's not pick on me. Let's pick on somebody who's secure. In me picking on them. You're a leader. No. Ray, what's Ray's responsibility when he sees somebody that he knows in the tribe sinning? Serious. Let's look at it. Because at the moment, we live in a society that says, don't tell me what to do. Let's look at it. Because this is going deeper. And some of it is ouch. Look at the time. We disagree. What? Yeah, we disagree. But it doesn't damage the relationship. It's okay to disagree. But when we make it personal and we start to attack, it goes into something else because I must be right. We treat people in the same way we want to be treated. Yes? How many of us do it? We put the needs of others before our own. We choose to love those we don't like. I mean, how many of us actually would say, I have an enemy? Yeah. We have people we don't really like. We choose to love those we don't like until we like them. I mean, the Bible says it's easy to love those who love you. That's not relationship in God's eyes. That's not being part of this tribe, these clans. We lay our lives down for others, not just those we like. It's easy to lay our lives down for those we like. It's not what the Bible teaches. And it's not even me. It's the Bible. Where are we? As Christ laid down his life for us. How do we do this? Not in our own strength. In fact, we can't. We cannot. And if we try, it's like the law. We're just going to feel worse and worse and worse. But here's the dichotomy. We do something. We don't use that as I just sit and wait till something changes. My mom would always used to say, Ben, when we pray, when God sees you with a right heart towards something, you know, in making a movement, whether it's a heart movement or a physical one, he meets you and takes you the way you can't go. He takes us higher. We enter into what Christ has done for us. We've got to know that. It's got to come out of what he has done and who he has made us and not just trying harder. I do like you. Do you want to come round to my house? It's not it. It's deeper than that. We put off the old man. We put on the new man. We walk out our freedom in Christ. Really important area. You know, if we're carrying hurts, that list, and that's why it wasn't exhausted, didn't have forgiveness. Coming in, kids, coming in. I am wrapping up, I promise. If we're carrying hurts, if we're carrying stuff, actually, then all of this relationship stuff is going to be skewed. Just give me your attention for a moment, please. I know they're so cute. We've got to be free. I'm surprised at how often I talk about things that are in me that need fixing, but actually, I don't know, I'm just waiting for God or need change and I need God to move. That was a bad choice of words, but I just don't know anything about it. And I talk to you and you go, I know what I'm like. Well, actually, then let's walk more into what Christ's freedom is in that area. Let's seek to do something about it. Let's seek to pour God more into my life. Whatever the right term is that isn't about you doing it by yourself. But don't stay there. I get moody. It's not me now, I'm talking hypothetically. I get moody, I'm miserable, I have a grump on. That's just not how we need to be. I snap, I have outbursts of wrath. Let's see us set free in Christ as we interact in our community. Some concerns, and I'm wrapping up now. You'll have heard this before. These next few months, it's going to be biblical, godly-based stuff. But most of us sitting in this room, most of us are mature Christians. You will have heard sermons like this over the years, again and again and again. Some of you won't. Amen. And actually, we need to learn how to keep things alive in ourselves, no matter how many times you've heard it, because it's truth. When we think we know it, we treat it cheaply. And actually, we just realize we don't walk in it. So my concern is, because it's not much new, is that we don't hear it. We don't apply it. It becomes a list of things I must do. And what's excited me so much about this is that we're the framework that Sue and Paul have developed within the discipleship stuff allows us now to look at where we can put additional things on. I don't know what we're calling them, so please don't think of these. Freedom workshops, healing past hurts, understanding how I work and operate. All of these things. So we're not just doing it on a Sunday. If you'd a nod and forget what I said, there's follow-up stuff that we want to do. Isn't that right, Sue? Amen. Amen. Because this is part of the loving others stream. You can go and have a look out there. There's some more leaflets that will explain it. What else is that we actually don't embrace what Christ has won for me, as Christ has done for us. Because actually, we'll have heard a lot about forgiveness. We'll have heard a lot about loving my enemy. So there's always a question to ponder with me. And don't answer it now. But will you? And it is a question as well as a heartfelt plea. Will you, as part of the tribe that is solely your Christian fellowship, take the time to think about, digest, where necessarily attend workshops, to see this work this out? Please don't wordsmith that. Work? Do you know the heart, what that is trying to say? And it's a question, because I've met with the people and we've talked about how we want these talks to go, and we so don't want them to be talks. And my prayer is, Holy Spirit, is that these things that we teach will come alive in the heart of Sully or Christian Fellowship, that it would strengthen us as a tribe, that it would strengthen us as a group of people. God's desire for a community of believers, in closing. Imagine relationship that's so deep that causes non-Christians to ask or to recognize that we must be followers of Jesus. The way we talk about others is so high that it puts those that don't know Christ to shame. Why all of this? Why all of this in closing? See, this is where some religious communities get it wrong. They become insular. Please don't think that this talk is about that. This is about how we shine as a body of people. Light and bright, so other people can be reconciled to Jesus and taken from a road to darkness and thrust into light. Shall we pray? Father God, Lord Jesus, let your Holy Spirit work in the lives of us here at Solihull Christian Fellowship. Lord, I pray that we will have caught something of your heart this morning, Lord. Father, and this just wouldn't be a good talk only. I'm presuming there. Father, that this would go deeper and that we would collectively go deeper, because relationships in you matter. In the name of Jesus, I pray this. Amen. Amen. Thank you.